You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Yes. Back in the homeland. I am back.
Hey, pal.
In Chinada.
Hey, stop.
Yes.
You're in quarantine. Get your mask on. I don't want to get anything from you.
Coming over the airways. Back in Chinada, ladies and gentlemen. Back in the homeland. I am locked in a room securely with a guard outside as I receive my food under the door. It's mostly toast. And but I'm back safe and sound. Crossing the border, no problem. Doing the quarantine, no problem, because everybody in this province is locked down and not supposed to be moving. But as I traveled across the Queen Elizabeth Highway, it seems that not many people understand that they're supposed to be locked down because it was packed full of cars. So crazy. Crazy. Brother Wolven, I've got a big surprise for you.
I'm ready.
On the other line today is a pastor who has been listening to Tim Talks now for the last couple months.
That is a surprise.
It is, I know. He's not very sharp, but he's a good guy. A few weeks ago,
not good looking, but a good personality.
That's why we're doing podcasts. You don't have to see us. So a few weeks ago, we were together with our wives, and we made a couple statements that caught his attention. And he goes, "Hey, I want to challenge you."
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
We have made that statement about five or six times on the podcast. Yes.
Well, Denise said it too. I made the statement. I've made it repeatedly. Brother Wolven never says anything. I got to take all the heat because he never says anything worth, you know, that's controversial. So
that's it.
I'm the controversy.
Mr. Vanilla.
That's right. So on the call with us today is Pastor Ryan King, pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Nova Scotia. Brother King, welcome to Tim Talks, my friends.
Yes.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you. Another Timmy. We've converted yet another to Canada's top 100 podcast, Tim Talks. We are so glad to have you with us. Raise your cup and cheer today. Raise your cup up there, Brother Wolven. What is it?
It's a Tim Hortons cup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Brother Wolven raises his Yeti with a tea bag in it. Tea. Okay. You're supposed to throw that in the harbor years ago. You're not supposed to be drinking that.
Well, see, whenever you stop being able to dress like a Native American and it's become racist, then you can have the tea back. So.
Okay. All
right. Yeah.
I wasn't sure how that worked. Well, Brother King, welcome. Welcome to the program. And we're so glad you're listening. Brother King contacted me a few weeks ago and said, "Hey, you made a statement I want to challenge." And I said, "Great, let's do it." So he said, "You made a statement that younger preachers don't ask for enough advice." And I said, "Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's true." And he said, "I don't think it is, and I'm gonna do a study and find out." Brother King, tell us what you did when the challenge was on. What did you do?
Well, when you had said that, that was probably the five or sixth time I had heard an older generation make that comment. And I knew for myself that I have a small group of pastors that I reach out to. And most of my friends are the ones that I would do stuff with or hang around with. They would as well. So I thought somehow there's a disconnect. If at least the majority of the ones I know have a counsel, then how is this being missed by the older generation? So I had the idea to set up a series of questions, like a poll. And I emailed them out to a bunch of younger pastors. Younger can be a relative term. And then my assistant pastor had the idea that I should do a similar poll to the older pastors, with similar questions, but slightly different, more geared toward what their experience would be. Put them together, compare it, summarize it. And then I wanted to see if this is being said, it's obviously believed by some. And so what can I do to be part of the solution and not just part of the problem? Because it's easy for either generation to complain about the other one, which is what we tend to do a lot, my generation included. So let's try to reach out across the aisle, get some things fixed, rather than just complain about it.
Well, that is phenomenal. That is a great job to take that upon you. And I'm interested to find out some of the things that you discovered.
Ryan, I'm reading through some of the questions that you asked. And you asked younger preachers first. You asked, do you have an older pastor that you ask advice? If so, how many and how often? Every one of the guys that you asked, and there are 14 replies, every one of them said yes, which I am thrilled about, and I will recant my statements, at least for the guys that you contacted. I don't know who they are, by the way, Brother Wolven. He did it anonymously. He did put their ages down, and they range from, I would say, 25 to 47 would be the age group of the younger guys. And so most of them said yes a couple times a week. I'd say I bounce a number of things off my dad. A couple guys said their dad, older pastors. One guy said, I found it interesting, he said, one guy said, no, I probably should, though. We usually figure things out on our own here with other pastors or deacons.
Now, that particular guy that said that, I know him, and he has a church about 200, and in there he has two retired pastors, it's just kept in-house.
Okay, that's good. Somebody, what was the statement somebody said about older, being older doesn't necessarily, where was that? Maybe that was in the second section I read. I'll let that go. I'll pick it up later. But somebody said something about age wasn't really the thing, just looking for advice, which I would agree. It doesn't always have to be just a senior guy or an older guy. I think we definitely need advice from our contemporaries as well. So that's good. Now, when you did your research, did you talk to guys or did you email guys? How did you do that?
I emailed most of them. A couple of the guys I called on the phone that I'm friends with and just said, this is what I'm doing. I admit that this is a fairly small sample size. We have 300 independent Baptists across Canada, much more in the U.S. I still think it's probably fairly representative of the group, even though it's a small sample size, because as people are bringing in their answers, they begin to repeat themselves. And so I think we're going to see a lot of the same ideas.
Yeah, right. That is true. So whenever you heard that statement, what was your reaction?
My reaction was the young pastors are asking old pastors for advice. They're just not asking the ones that are complaining about it for advice. So it keeps being said, and I've heard it said from multiple people. So what are they thinking that is not being true? So if I'm asking someone for advice, but you don't think I am, it's because I'm not asking you. So then I was thinking, so what is going on, or what is the criteria for these younger pastors' council group, and why aren't they asking or asking as much some of the ones that keep repeating it? So that's the biggest discovery I found was that.
I'll let you know that I do make that statement often. But I will tell you that I have a number of guys that do contact me. In fact, since I've made that statement, I've talked to 10 different preachers since that time. Younger preachers have all contacted. So I do say that, and often, because I do hear other preachers say it. I hear older preachers say it. And I guess to a degree, you're right, Ryan, that maybe they just want, they haven't made that contact or whatever. And I think we'll discuss that in a little bit. But today, I really like to just kind of look at, that idea of how many guys are reaching out to other guys and do they feel that need? Do you feel a need, Ryan, to reach out to other men often?
I do when I come into a problem. And that seems to be the vast majority of all the young guys. As long as things are smooth sailing, it becomes out of sight, out of mind. I don't think that's correct, but it becomes reality. But once we run into a problem, usually ministry, sometimes family related, that is when we'll start to reach out because we need help.
Yeah. So, I've told Brother Stone that, you know, I see a lot of guys that have a group of people that they contact and some people that they, you know, really, whether you'd say respect, revere, admire, look up to, obviously look up to, I'm not on that list. But I do see a lot of things like that. And maybe some of the people that I'm traveling with, they're, you know, in my nucleus of contacts, they see it too. Maybe for some guys, it's not as many as what they think or should, or maybe they see two or three guys that seem to be going down a path that they fear, and they'd like to talk to them about it and don't really want to sort of step in. But I've been on that other side of the coin, just mainly because of my own experience and many of the people that I'm talking to, you know, that are around my age, that I've been able to interact with.
When we looked at the amount of older pastors that the younger generation talks to, I think the one thing that I found was that Brother Stone is an anomaly in it, where he has 10 to 20. The vast majority of young pastors will only open up and ask advice of maybe 3 to 4. So it's very small. And then we have to ask the question, so why is it that small and why can't it be bigger? Most of the older pastors I asked on how many young people reach out to them, again, the answer was small, 3 to 4. Again, Pastor Stone, who has 10 to 20, that was highly unusual. So once more, we ask the question, what is he doing differently than the majority of others that said, yeah, I got a couple guys, but I don't have a lot.
Well, I would say for me, I am traveling. And so I'm making contact, and I'm taking time with those guys when I'm with them. So that starts it. And I would say the other thing is that I don't do this regularly, and I need to do it more often, but I do reach out to those guys periodically. How you doing? How did the situation work out? You know, I just try to keep in touch with them, and I think that's a big part. Let me ask you this, Ryan. Of the guys that you talked to, how many of the guys do you think are Canadian and how many are American?
Only two were American. Only two were ministering in the States. As far as the ones that were in Canada, maybe 50-50 split. I didn't actually think about it. I just assumed they were all Canadian because they were ministering here. I didn't think about where their origin was.
Yeah, I would think most of the guys that you would know would be Canadian guys. I would think. I wonder if there's a difference between, you know, being in Canada or being Canadian and the States. I wonder if that would have something to do with it. Do you think?
You know, I don't know. Now that I think about it, only two of the young pastors, no, three. Three of the young guys would be Americans pastoring up here. I'm not sure about the older guys. Yeah, I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, because even as far as the Canadians, probably half of us, including myself, were educated in the States. So right. There'd still be quite a bit of influence there.
I think that's part of it. I think that's part of it.
So you're saying what, you think Canadians ask less or more?
I would think, and I could be wrong, Ryan, maybe correct me, but I would think that as a Canadian, I think we would tend to ask more. I think the American mentality is, you know, we're just going to handle it. We're just going to do it. And I think as a nation, we're more apt to sit at the table and talk things through rather than just charge through it. That's not everybody. That's a broad statement, but
I think you're probably right in some areas, because the American does have a high dose of individualism, but all the two American pastors that I asked that are, I went to buy with, are friends of mine. they are both fairly active in asking the older generation. So, you know, I'm not sure. I think the key is what we're going to get to later on, and that is that direct connection. I know that's coming up later, but that is absolutely key to all of this.
Yeah, I think so. From my aspect, I mean, I don't know how many guys talk to me. And, you know, a lot of it is more politically based because, you know, they may not feel as, you know, in depth as how I've been thrust into this situation. But even still, there are, I don't know, I've never sat down and counted, but there's a lot of guys that I talk to on a regular basis who it isn't me checking up on them as much as me just interacting because, man, I learn more from the younger generation than I do my own generation. You know, my generation, whenever we communicate, we share burdens, we share, you know, prayer requests, we, you know, reminisce. But whenever I'm interacting with somebody, you know, I'll be 60 in August. And so when I'm dealing with somebody 40 and younger, man, I'm wanting to ask their opinion and I want their advice and I want to know, what are you doing new? You know, basically, when I talk to somebody, I try to find out, how did you get saved? Yet whenever I talk to a pastor, you know, my first question is, so what do you do new that I can steal? You know, because I love hearing what guys are doing.
Now, I want to add to that, Brother Wolven, when you're over 40, 50, the conversation's not, you know, what are you doing new? It's, hey, do you have any new aches and pains? Is your hip going to be replaced? How's that new knee working out for you? That's most of the question we're asking.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say over 40 inches.
And something else to consider is that there's certainly a generational gap just that goes the way of the society as well. So I'm 40, and my generation is different than yours. My assistant pastor is 25. And his is way more different than mine. And so his is the first generation that has grown up knowing only the internet, as we're going to get to later on. That makes a huge difference in their worldview. I didn't have my first cell phone until I was 25 years old. And now every middle schooler has one in his pocket, right? And so things have changed so fast that it's hard to keep up with it. And when the old generation looks at mine, you know, I graduated in the late 90s, saying, I can't understand these guys. I'm saying the same thing about the guys in their 20s, saying, these guys are nuts. I don't get one bit of it. And so it's like on Mars when you think of two generations removed.
I was going to say this too, that the communication of, and you've nailed that, generations, like younger generation, and I've reached out. I've tried to do two emails. I've tried to do I used a program that the gamers used to communicate with each other, and all of those failed. I tried to find a way that older guys could connect with younger guys. And Ryan, you know, I've tried, this is nothing new. I've tried this for the last 10 years to try and bridge that gap. I saw it coming. I've worked at that. And that's maybe my statement is somewhat just to get guys talking about this, but I think that's part of it. If I talk to Brother Wolven, it's usually on a phone call. If I talk to Levi Tyrrell, our youth pastor, it's a text and some of those things. So there is a different communication. And a lot of guys my age don't like to text. We didn't grow up texting. We don't like texting. I'd rather just talk to you. And personally, I love Zoom call because I like talking face to face. And that's not something that everybody's, you know, this is kind of new in this day and age, but I think that's a big part of it. How do you communicate? And we have that problem with husband and wives. They don't communicate the same sometimes, and that's where the breakdown is. And I think this may be a big part of that problem.
I agree 100%. And so that's one of the goals of this, is how can we see these problems, find solutions to it, and move forward together?
Yeah, Pastor, one word of caution. You don't want to agree with Al Stone on 100% on anything.
Later. Duly noted.
I'm not communicating with either one of you ever again. I don't care what you do. You're all alone. You're alone. Hey guys, that's 20 minutes. Let's leave it there. We're going to come back on Wednesday and pick this up. We'll go through some of the responses on Wednesday that Ryan got. Like I said, in the first point, asked if you do, you know, have you contacted older pastors? Everyone but one said yes, and the one that said no had some in-house guys. Now, here's a great question, and this is what we'll deal with on Wednesday. What reasons would you have for not reaching out to older preachers for advice? And this is where it gets down and dirty. So it's a great question, and the responses are eye-opening. So we'll look at that on Wednesday. So from the homeland, back in the homeland, quarantined in my house, this is Al Stone for the Canadian Gospel Project, who just had three incredible months of meetings in the United States of America. And I am so blessed and so thankful that I was able to do that. But it is good to be home. I can't wait to see my family. We've got a few days before we can do that. But it's good to be here today.
Pastor Stone, I'm disappointed. I've been looking forward to this for 3 months. And here you're not underneath the stairs in your basement. What happened? I was looking forward to seeing the insulation on the wall and everything. What happened?
No, we upgraded. I did that before I left.
Wow.
We moved up to, I've now got a bedroom office. So I'm in our spare bedroom with a little desk and chair. There's actually heat in this room. And there's paint on the walls. It's really, you can tell I'm a lot happier and nicer guy
so
since I moved into this.
Is it still the Solid Rock Studios or no?
Well, yes, it's just new and updated.
All right. Okay.
So it's the Rolling Stone studio.
Rolling Stone.
Yeah, we just keep moving from studio to studio.
Well, here in the North Columbus Blue Room, this is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio, and once again, we thank the audience. You've been participating just tremendously. And Pastor Ryan, I got to tell you, I was just as I looked over that questionnaire that you sent out, the responses, man, I think that's tremendous, and I appreciate that very much. Looking forward to diving in a little bit more in this the next couple of podcasts. So this is from Columbus, Ohio.
Well, thank you, sir. And this is Pastor Ryan King from Pastor Calvin Belingit's office, where the tech stuff is set up, Nova Scotia.
This is Tim Talks. Thank you for tuning in today. We look forward to having you back on Wednesday when we carry through this discussion on our younger pastors asking older pastors questions. And if not, why not? Stay tuned. We'll see you Wednesday. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.